This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. JazakAllah for joining us night number 7 of this year's Ramadan. And subhanAllah, almost 1 week is completed of this year, and may Allah bless us in what we've done so far and grant the rest of the month we attain the full benefits, including the night of Laylatul Qadr. Ameen. And also just a word of advice from my side, for myself first and for all of us. Usually when we were performing our Taraweeh in the Masjid, and Allah grant us to return soon, we'd find that towards the end of the first week, in the middle part of the Ramadan, maybe the middle 10 days, this is when the masjids are the least full, and people don't, the novelty of Ramadan has worn off, and they become a little bit, you know, we become a little bit lazy, and then only towards the end of Ramadan again, the last 10 nights do we wake up. Perhaps the test for us this year to make this Ramadan the best is to make sure we fulfill every single evening and make every night of Ramadan special. We don't know which night it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive us, which night Allah is going to grant us that access to Jannah. So, bi-ibnillah, let us continue and not let the novelty of Ramadan wear off. Alhamdulillah. Today, alhamdulillah, we read Surah Yasin, and we're going to begin the tafsir of Surah Yasin. Inshallah, to make it easy for us to understand, we will be dividing Surah Yasin up into, basically we could say, 6 sections, 6 chunks, and each section has a discussion on its own and revolves around a central message. Tonight, section number 1, we won't do it over one night. We'll probably take 2 nights to discuss section number 1, from verse number 1 to verse number 12. This is really the introductory section. And in reality, this section speaks about all the major themes of the surah, and it gives the message of Surah Yasin, and the rest of the surah comes to back it up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention certain things in this introductory verses, these first dozen verses, and then the rest of the surah is almost evidences for it and backing it up and enforcing the meaning. So without further ado, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah begins with Yasin. As we know, the word Yasin is one of the khuruf al-muqatta'at, meaning the disconnected letters. It is similar to Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Ra, Ha Mim. These are letters that are recited individually. It's not a word. You know, we don't say Yus or Yis. Yes. Each letter is separate. Like an acronym, for example, we could say ANC, BBC. These are words that are disconnected with separate letters. The letters are muqatta'at, they are disconnected. And just some backstory to these letters. 29 out of the 114 surahs begin with these muqatta'at. You will not find a muqatta'at letter. You will not find a word like this in the middle of a surah or at the end of the surah. You know, you won't recite in the middle of the surah, Ihdina siratul mustaqim, alif lam mim, ghayr al-ma, you know, it won't happen like that. It's always at the beginning. There's only one chapter in the entire Quran that has two muqatta'at ayat, meaning the first and the second. For the rest, the other 28 surahs, it is only the first ayah that has a muqatta'at letter. And inshallah, that will be a quiz question for all of you to find that surah, which surah has two ayat as muqatta'at. And if we look at the muqatta'at, 4 of the Quran's chapters are actually named after the khuruf al-muqatta'at. And this is an example of the 4. Yasin, the surah is named after Yasin. And Taha is another example. Saad and Qaf, these 2 surahs also, they give the name to the chapter. And some surahs, they begin with common muqatta'at, alif lam mim, you'll find appears 6 times in the Quran, alif lam ra, 5 times in the Quran, ha mim, 7 times in the Quran. But Yasin, for example, only the surah. There's no other place in the Quran where you find the word Yasin. And now, what do these muqatta'at letters mean? What is the purpose of them? First, with regards to Surah Yasin, there's a very, very weak narration, opinion rather, I shouldn't say narration, it's an opinion of some of the Mufassirin, that there was a tribe called the Tay tribe, the tribe of Tay, and they had a statement where they would say, listen up, or hey you, a way of calling you, instead of saying Ya Insan, or people, they would say Yasin. And so, some scholars have said, perhaps this is a way taken from this tribe. Allah is saying, oh insan, ya insan, pay attention. But this is a very, very strange and a very gharib, very weak opinion. In fact, many of the scholars reject this opinion because it would mean then that the Quran is using language not from the Quraysh and using a dialect not from the same dialect that it is revealed in. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not do. He would not take from another dialect and put it inside the Quran. And so rather this is just a coincidence that their tribe has the word Yasin, which means, oh people, and it's found here in Surah Yasin. Also, if we were to say this is the case, if this was the case, then what about the other huruf al-muqatta'at? What about alif lam mim, alif lam ra? Those who are not found in any other language or any other dialect. And so rather, we would rather assume that they all, the muqatta'at, have a similar meaning behind them. I must also mention here a very important side note. It is because of this interpretation that Yasin means, O people, O man, that some have incorrectly used the name Yasin to mean the name of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They would say Yasin means, O insan, O man, and the most perfect man being the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they would say it's as if the Allah is calling O Muhammad, but calling him Yasin. And so there are some people who have incorrectly assumed one of the names of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Yasin, and this is of course completely not correct. So what does Yasin mean? Yasin, like the other muqatta'at letters, like Alif Lam Mim, like Hamim, ultimately there is no answer. We don't know what it means. Not even the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew what it means, and therefore it was not conveyed to us. It is something which Allah has placed in the Quran. It has meaning, because Allah does not put gibberish in the Quran, but it's one of those things which Allah says the meanings belong to Him alone. Like when is Qiyamah, certain things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put there for a reason, but did not give us the knowledge of it. We do know that there is a link between the huruf al-muqatta'at and the next verse. Almost always, the next verse will speak directly about the Quran, will mention the Quran, or it will mention indirectly something to do with the Quran. So for example, Alif Lam Mim, Surah Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. This book or that book, Allah is talking about the Quran. Here again, Yasin وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ. Allah mentions the Quran in the next verse. So there is a link between these 29 خُرُوفُ المُقَطَّعَاتِ and something miraculous about the Quran. That is something that we can know for sure. And Allahu A'lam, anything beyond that is just purely speculation, and it is best not to speculate with regards to the Quran. The second verse, Allah says, Wal Qur'ani al-Hakim. The waw here is a waw of qasam. It is the waw of taking a vow. Like we say, Wallahi, by Allah. Allah is saying, by the Quran. Allah is, as we say in Cape Town, Allah is sumbaying by the Quran. And we know that there are other ways which we can take a qasam. There are three letters we can use. We can say, Wallahi, or Billahi, or Tallahi. Three. Waw, ba, and ta. These three are letters. When you add it, it means you take an oath by it. So Allah says, I swear. When he says Wallahi, he says, I'm swearing by the Quran, the miraculous Quran, Al-Hakim, Hakim. What does Hakim mean? Hakim means wise. So someone who is Hakim, he has wisdom, it gives advice, it gives correct instructions. Also, a Hakim is a judge. If you go to a Muslim land, if you say, I'm going to the court, you go to the Mahkamah. So a Hukum is a judgment. And so the Quran is not just wise, but it is authoritative. It gives the final verdict. When the Quran says something, there is no debate in it. There is no further discussion about it. The Quran is the final arbitrator in all those things. So Allah is taking a vow. Allah is saying, I swear by the wise, authoritative Quran. And then something will follow, something on vows again. We see here Allah, as we know in the Quran, He takes vows with many, 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 many things. Allah swears, wal asr, by time. Allah says, wa shams, by the sun, by the moon, by the day. Allah takes a vow by any of His creations. Sometimes He even takes a vow by Himself. Allah says, by your Lord. Allah vows by Himself. For us as people, we know it is haram, it is an act of shirk, it is an act of disbelief to take a vow by anyone else besides Allah. We can only say by Allah. We can't say, I swear on my mother, or I can swear by the masjid. In fact, Ibn Abbas was making tawaf, and someone said to another person, I swear by the Kaaba. And so Ibn Abbas said to them, don't swear by the Kaaba, rather swear by Rabbul Kaaba, the Lord of the Kaaba. As for the Quran, very interestingly, we are allowed to take a vow by the Quran. We can say, I swear by the Quran. Here in South Africa, they have a saying that, so unlike us, I swear by Allah, 10 days in Quran, 10,000 times by the Quran. So there's some truth to the matter. Rather, don't swear like that. There's no need to swear like that. Just track, we shouldn't take an oath for unnecessary reasons. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we can see, the Quran is seen not as a creation of Allah. That is why you can take a vow with the Quran. I swear by the Quran. And you can ask by protection through the Quran, أعوذ بكلمات الله, I seek protection with the Quran. So the Quran is not a creation, another creature of the creations of Allah. It is the speech of Allah, and therefore an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore you may take a vow with it. So Allah is saying, now usually when you take a vow, I swear that I saw. Now obviously what follows is something very important. So if Allah says, I take a vow, I swear by the wise, authoritative Quran, that what? The next ayah, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that verily indeed, the إِنَّكَ is to give emphasis. I swear that indeed you are from amongst those who have been sent with a message. You are of those messengers, not the perfect translation here, but we could say for our understanding, I swear by the Quran that you are amongst the messengers that have been sent. And so this verse is an answer to the previous verse. And as I said, there are a number of emphasis in nakala, that if we look at the way this ayah, we don't speak like this in English, and indeed, verily, I will be going to the shop. No one speaks like that anymore. But in Arabic, and of course the Quranic Arabic, we have a lot of these things called tawqid, where Allah wants to emphasize a meaning. And so by Him saying this, Allah is putting as much emphasis as you could possibly grammatically put in there, that verily, surely, indeed, without any doubt, you are a messenger, you are of those who have been sent. Now, what's interestingly in this ayah, Allah is speaking in the second person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is not meaning, this ayah is not being addressed to the kuffar, saying that he is a messenger, I swear he is a messenger. Allah is telling the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are a messenger. Why would Allah say this to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As we said at the beginning of the surah, or of the themes of this, when this surah came down, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was really in a low point in his prophethood. His message was not moving forward, and every day he's being told, you're a liar, you're a madman, you are wrong, look at you, your message isn't going forward, no one follows you except a very few weak slaves. So with time, this begins to weigh you down, and it psychologically hurt the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we know him to be a very strong, positive, optimistic person, but through the constant abuse he was receiving, he was actually not doubting his messenger, when he wasn't doubting Allah, he was doubting himself. Am I a failure? He began blaming himself. Maybe I'm the problem. I'm not giving the da'wah as I should. And so Allah, the first message Allah wants to give in the surah is really to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but of course to us as well, that indeed you are a messenger. That this is a validation from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that Allah is giving to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It also teaches us the power of abuse. That, you know, when people call you names enough times, even a messenger of Allah, a person who Allah speaks to, who has received the Quran, can get broken down and worn down. That old nursery rhyme, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me, is completely wrong. Names can really hurt someone. And if you give names constantly, even though something he knows to be true, someone can be beautiful, but you constantly say to her, you're ugly, you don't look pretty, eventually that person will begin to feel insecure. And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's also going through this level of emotional breakdown, and who better? And that shows you his maqam, shows you his status that Allah will reveal, versus saying that you don't need anyone's validation. I'm telling you from the Lord of the seven of the universe, from above the arsh, you are of the messengers. Also, Allah could have said, you are a messenger, but he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are a part of messengers, you are one of many. Why? To show you are not alone. He feels he's alone, but to say you are not the first to go through this, you are also part of fraternity, a group of messengers. You are not the first to experience this kind of thing, and we'll see Allah will actually talk about a number of these messengers who went through what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going through. It also shows that what he is being sent with, the thing which is being causing him is the grief. He's getting he was very loved by his people before he came with the Quran. Now that he's bringing the Quran, that is when his people are rejecting him and cursing him. Allah is telling him, you are simply there to deliver a message, and it is not you that they hate, rather it is the message that they hate. So Allah says again, we continue, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. When we did the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, we said, صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is that clear, big highway, the straight path, the path which has no ambiguity in it. It is the thing that is the path that will lead you to success. So Allah is saying, you are upon a straight path. This Allah doesn't say who. This is upon a straight path. It could refer to the Mursaleen. All of them are a straight path. Or meaning, and of course it means the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well, he is on a straight path. So you know, sometimes if you're going the wrong way in the road, and you see people driving all on the other side, and they're all telling you, hey, you're going the wrong way, eventually you'll feel some doubt. You'll be like, even if you've driven this road 100 times, you might feel, maybe I've made a mistake here. Allah is confirming the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do and keep doing what you're doing. You are on the straight path. What you're doing is right. Don't worry about the results. That is in the hands of Allah. And this is something that all of us can take, that when we are doing that which Allah has commanded us, sometimes it will mean we are on the outsider at work. We are the outsider amongst our friends. You know, for young people, your friends might tell you, you're going the wrong way, and rather join our way. even if it means you are on the outside, so long as you're on the straight path, you are going in the right direction. It also shows you that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as we know, he lived a perfect life. Allah is saying the Quran is Hakim. It is perfect, it is authoritative, it is wise, it's full of rich of wisdom, and you have a messenger who is on the straight path. That he is, what he does is always right. And we know that there's no person in history whose life has been so documented. And we know from his life, every aspect of it has been perfect. So both the messenger and the message are perfect. That even the non-believers knew this. Even the Quraysh, even the worst of opponents, they knew that he was on some kind of righteousness, that his moral compass was supreme. And so, you know, in Surah Fatiha, we ask, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ O Allah, guide us to the straight path, guide us to the straight path. We gave an example of someone who is lost in the city and is looking for a way. And so we're asking Allah, show me where is the highway that will take me to success. Allah is saying, your Nabi is عَلَى السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on that path. He's walking that path. You don't have to search for it. You just have to follow him and you will be guided. So if you're lost in the road, you don't have to look through the GPS. You don't have to wonder about. You find the guy who says, you know what, I will take you to where you need to go. And that is the job of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for us, it just means follow in his footsteps and we'll be on that straight path all the time. Ala sirat mustaqim. So Allah spoke, so far he hasn't mentioned himself. He mentioned the Quran, he mentioned the Prophet. Now Allah says, who sent down this Quran? And who is the one? You are a messenger from whom? Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. This is a very powerful ayah. Allah says, a revelation. Almost, if you could, you would put an exclamation mark. An exclamation mark at the end of this ayah. This is a revelation, Allah is saying, from al-Aziz al-Rahim. Al-Aziz and al-Rahim, two names of Allah. Al-Aziz is perhaps the most, one of the most powerful names of Allah. It means the one who is filled with izzah. Izzah means might and power. So Allah is saying, a revelation from the most mighty, the almighty and the most merciful, that you are sent and the Quran is being sent not by anyone else except by the most powerful and the all merciful. Allah is answering, if you were to read this Quran blind, you didn't know who it was, who is sending this revelation and who is sending this messenger, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these two words and these two names. As we said before, when Allah joins two of his names together, he wants to give a combined meaning. So on the one hand, he uses the word al-Aziz, which is power and might and strength and honor. And then he also uses the name Ar-Rahim, meaning that he is merciful and kind. That he does, whenever he exercises his power, it is done with mercy. It is also to show that this Quran and this messenger are mighty and they are powerful, but they are being sent for a purpose of mercy. They're not coming here to harm anyone. Yes, Allah will speak about destruction. Allah will speak about punishments. Rather, he's not here to bring about punishments, but it is to save people from the punishment. In another way of looking at it, Allah is telling to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are being backed by Al-Aziz. Why are you feeling worried and sad and alone? In your corner you have the all-powerful, and also to the believers, you are not alone. The believers, you have Allah on your side. And for the disbelievers, you're not going up against Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or against Bilal. You're going up against the Lord of all creations. And we know again that Allah links the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says Ar-Rahim, that he is a mercy unto mankind. The fact that Allah sent this messenger is to bring about mercy for your own benefit. Why were you sent, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Why was the Quran revealed? Allah explains in the next ayah, it's ayah number 6, لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرُ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ خَافِلُونَ You were only sent, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لِتُنذِرْ to warn a people, a qawm, a people, whose forefathers were not warned, and so they are unaware. Allah is mentioning here the messenger, he has come as a mercy to his people and his society to save them from something. Now, people have confused, and many times they said Allah sends the messengers and you think Allah comes and then he tests you and then if you don't follow, he's going to punish you. That's not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your society has reached a certain level where its own actions, its own doing will bring about its destruction. And we can see that in this world today, how we pollute the environment, how we treat each other. We, if we continue on a certain path, we are on a path to our own destruction. Allah doesn't have to send a calamity. We will cause our own downfall. And so the Quraysh were similarly at this point. The Quraysh were at such a low point in human history. They were the worst of the worst. They were killing their own children, buying and selling their women. SubhanAllah, they were of the worst people that you could find. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they were on a verge of destruction and Allah is sending them as a mercy, someone to warn them away, pull them off the ledge. And they are not even aware of that. Allah also says, that they are a people. Allah doesn't even mention them by name. Remember, at this point, the Quraysh are very haughty, very arrogant. Who are you? So Allah is not even dignifying them with a name. Allah has sent you to the Quraysh. Rather, He's saying you a people from amongst many, many people. In fact, amongst all the nations He has sent, you are perhaps of the most insignificant nation that there is. And there is nothing in you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made special, except that He has blessed you with the best of Anbiya and the best of revelations. Really, to think what the Quraysh would have been. If the Quraysh had not received Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they had not received the Quran, they would not even have been a footnote on society. No one in history would have known them. They would have come and have gone without any mention in history. Yet Allah sent them this revelation, and through that they became the greatest of nations. An empire would really follow, following from this. That today we are still studying the Quraysh because how Allah has blessed them and taken them out of the darkness. Allah also mentions, so Allah didn't only say He sent you to a people who have not received a warner, so they are unaware. Allah mentioned their forefathers. Them and their forefathers are who had not received any warning before. Why? Because the Quraysh took a lot of pride in boasting about their ancestry. And you find this with people that are very arrogant, usually ignorant and arrogant, usually go hand in hand. Something they like to do is they like to belittle others. They use it as a form of racism. They like to talk about their lineage, their pride, their culture, their customs. We are the best, and they belittle others. And so Allah says, both you and your forefathers were unaware. Both of them had no knowledge, and you just did things without any justification. So many times the Quraysh would say, should we leave the actions of our forefathers? This is our tradition, our custom. And Allah teaches us that if our customs, our culture, if it goes against the Sharia, then it is a misguided custom. Even if our grandparents, our parents did that, they were wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you the right way. And in every culture and custom, you might find aspects that are not part of the Islamic tradition. And people tend to cling to that. Why? This is the way our forefathers have always done it. Allah is saying you and your forefathers are misguided, are lost, are confused, are ghafla, in a state of carelessness. So let go of those things and come to guidance. Some might say, but did Nabi Ismail not come to the Quraysh before? Yes, he did, but this is many, many thousands of years. In fact, there was no such thing as Quraysh back then. Yes, he was in Mecca, but it is a completely different people in some ways. And so it is as if though they never received a messenger since then. Some may also ask, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did he only come to the Quraysh, or did he come to all of mankind? As we will learn, if we learn tafsir history, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first came to his own people, and this is the methodology of all the Anbiya. You first see to your own family and your own neighbor, your own community. Charity begins at home. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first came to call his own people, and then he expanded to the rest of the world until the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that amazing hadith that he said that of all the Anbiya, of the things that made me special, Allah gave me five special things. One of them, Allah has made me a Nabi to all of mankind. And of course it makes sense that this is the final revelation, that everyone is called to this message. And one of the also the beautiful things is, means no one can lay claim to him. He's not just an Arab Nabi or a Meccan Nabi. He is a Nabi to all of us. Even here in South Africa, we can claim he's our Nabi. No one has the right to claim him. Rather, we are part of his nation. He's also come to form a new nation. We know that Allah says that the mu'minun, they are ikhwa, that we are a new people altogether. Our affiliation of tribe and culture, yes, it remains. We'll always be South African. You'll always be Zulu or Khoisan. It's no problem. Islam maintains that. But you are part of a much bigger nation, and that is the nation of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a mercy, has sent this Nabi to call all of mankind away from an impending doom. What is that that's going to happen? What is Allah going to save us from? What is the consequences of not following this messenger and this warning? Inshallah, tomorrow we just see that bi-idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.